Good morning. I'm always blessed to be able to come to Grace Bible Church, and I want to thank Pastor Jerry and the elders for considering me. I'm blessed and privileged to be able to stand in the gap. You know, our ministry here at GBC has a thing called Awana. It's featured right here. And I want to put in a plug for Awana. I've kind of written it into my message. And we have needs. It's where little boys and girls or young kids or young people get a chance to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Awana program is fantastic for clarity of the gospel. And in our Awana program, we have a group called the TNT and the Sparks, and they need listening leaders. And I've been doing that now. This is my 1.5 years, and I love it. I look forward to it. It's every Wednesday night from 7 to 8. And I want to see it. How many of y'all have worked with Awana here? If you would just stand up for a minute. Stand up. Let me just see it. Everybody look around. Oh, yeah, I forgot Cubbies. My wife does. We are Awana Cubbies. That's her right over there. Thank you very much for your help. There are quite a few that do help, and we do appreciate that. But we're always needing laborers. We're always needing TNT what are they called? Sparks. I keep getting them mixed up. I had a little boy named Vinny last year. And every now and then, I would have to get two or three kids. Well, when you're trying to talk to one kid and you got two or three disturbing you, we need more laborers. You'll be one-on-one with a kid and you'll be able to talk to him about Jesus. What a blessing that would be to be able to help that person come to know Jesus as their Savior. If you don't have anything to do or haven't done anything at Grace Bible Church and would like that, we would love to have you. Am I right? Yes. Thank you, Michael. That's right.
August 17th.
I didn't know the date. August 17th. Write that down. If you're interested, please talk to Michael. This morning, I'd like to talk to you about good success. I looked it up in the dictionary, in Webster's dictionary, and this is what it said. Webster says it's a favorable or desirable outcome, the attainment of wealth, favor, or eminence. Let's see what God says. I think it's a little bit different. You can just imagine, right? Well, let's see what he says. I'd like to say that each one of us could look back in our lives and in retrospect looked at some decisions that we've made that weren't quite right. Sometimes if we think about that, we could be a little anxious. But we're not going to dwell on that today. No, we're not going to dwell on the mistakes we made. They're not profitable for us. Let's dwell on God's word and let us be encouraged to seek good success. And I'd like to start with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were created by God in his image in Genesis chapter 1. He created them and gave them one rule. Well, he told them, first of all, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, chapter 16, that you could come and have anything in the garden, all this fruit is yours to eat. You can freely eat it all, except, in verse 17, he says, out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. One thing they did. One thing they were given. And they failed miserably. You see, when you look at that, they were created in perfection with everything provided and God walking with them every day. How could that be? How could that happen that they could fail miserably? In comes the devil in the third chapter. The devil challenged God's word and he said to Eve, and I'm going to read to you, I'm not going to read you what he said. I'm just going to explain. When he challenged him, his slick, lying talk and his lying tongue caused Eve to doubt God's word. And therefore, sin entered all of mankind. The result of obedience. Now, this is the opposite. The result of obedience is that we have good success. The opposite is that we don't have success. They failed, and thus we have sin. We're all sinners. When Moses was in exile, we're going to go on to Moses. I've got four people I'm going to talk about. When Moses was in exile, God talked to him in the burning bush. Audibly, he talked out of the burning bush. And, you know, you could think about Charlton Heston, you know, in the burning bush. But that's not the image that I have. My image isn't Charlton Heston. It's beyond that. Because God told him that the place that you're standing is holy ground because he was there. When he talked to him, he told him what to do. He said, go get my children out of Israel, out of the Egypt, bring them back to the promised land. It was a simple thing to do, you think? No. It was a very hard task. He had to go to Pharaoh, his stepbrother, and he had to tell his Pharaoh that, let my people go. Well, even in Moses, in his obedience, had some failures. He was in the wilderness after they left Egypt, and they were in the wilderness after Mount Sinai when they got the Ten Commandments. By the way, did you know that the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments are vertical to God, and the last six are all about our relationships with each other? That's neat, isn't it? God gave us, Moses, those Ten Commandments for us. And as we look at those, we can say that God is instructing us in some things to do. Then they get out in the wilderness and the children of Israel complain. You can read in the Old Testament. Terry and I and Eleanor are reading it every day. And we're coming through some of this stuff. And it's amazing to hear the continuity of the stories. But he's out there and the children of Israel are complaining and they don't have any water to drink. And they're thirsty. And so God tells Moses to bring the children of Israel together. And I want you to talk to this rock and water will come out. Very simple instructions. Only Moses didn't do that. He got angry at the children of Israel for their murmuring against him and Aaron and God. And he struck the rock and water came out. That wasn't God's instructions, was it? God wanted him to be successful doing things his exact way, and he had a reason for doing it. We don't know God's ways, do we? Our ways are not his ways. His ways are not our ways. We don't understand. But he did not obey. And because of the disobedience, guess what? He didn't get to lead the children into the promised land. He got to the promised land, but couldn't go in. And then Joshua took over from him. And we read the scripture this morning in Joshua chapter 1. And I want to just hone in on two verses, if I may. Joshua chapter 1. And I want to look at verse 7 and 8. Boy, Moses, I could sure use some of that water right now. My mouth's parched. Oh, I got some here. I'll get some in a minute. Joshua, I put all these tabs in here so I could find it easy. It's still hard. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate in it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, folks, this is not a prosperity gospel message. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm just saying that God expects obedience. Listen to what he said. He said, you do what I tell you to do and you're going to prosper. But even Joshua had a difficulty. Joshua himself didn't, but because of sin in the camp, they lost the battle of Ai. You remember the story. Achan took some of the stuff that was supposed to be consecrated to God, the gold, the silver, some of the precious things. He, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, he took it and hid it in his camp. And because of his disobedience, Israel lost lives, and they lost the battle of Ai. Do you know what happened to Achan? He was destroyed, and all his family, all his possessions were destroyed because of his disobedience. Do you think that God gives us the instructions for us to disobey them? Why are they disobeying? Because of sin that's in our hearts. God's trying to point us to that. And as he brought Joshua to that point, Joshua made God's word his... Everything he did in God's word was what he was told to do so that he could be successful and successfully conquered the promised land. How important is the law? Do you know that the law is synonymous? The word law is synonymous in the Bible to the Word of God? The whole Word of God? Here's some examples. The examples that you can look at of what God thinks, how important the Word of God is. How many of y'all have ever read Psalm or sang Psalm 19 the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Well, I'm going to read those verses because this is how important the law is to you and I. Not for salvation. We'll look at that in a little bit. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and sweeter also than the honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. The more I studied for this message, the more I found that God wants believers to trust Him and obey Him. We must trust in His promises and obey His instructions. In Psalm 119, I'd like to look there. If you want to turn there, 119, right in the middle of the Bible, we're going to look on in verse 9, 119, verse 9 through 11. Listen to what God says to us. He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereunto, unto thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And then in James chapter 105, it says this: thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see, this word, God illuminates where we should step, what we should do, how we should go. Only problem is, we have a sin nature, right? Have you ever seen, son, don't jump in that puddle. What's going to happen? Both feet. You know, there's probably a reason you're telling him that, not just that he will get dirty, but you don't know how deep that puddle is, right? There's a lot of things. God illuminates our paths, and He tells us that we need to hide the Word in our heart, that we might not sin against God. As I studied Psalm 119, the theme just blasted me, that the law of God should be the most important thing in our life. Trusting in the Word never, never leads to judgment, only blessings. Knowing God's Word guides us in the right way. In doing what God says, there is great reward. I could go on. That brings me to Jesus. Jesus came to the world to fulfill, and I want to read this because I wrote it down, to fulfill what was written in the book of Moses, Psalms, and the prophets concerning His life, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And do you know that there are 351 Old Testament prophecies that Jesus fulfilled when He died on the cross? In His life, He fulfilled 351 of them to the letter. How are you going to know if you don't look into the Word? If you don't know the law, you're not going to know all those 351. Well, I started looking at some of them. Now, I'm not going to go into 351 laws today, but there are a lot of them. I'm trying to give some little worms for you to grab onto the hook. As you study God's Word more and more, things are revealed about His Son, our perfect substitute. We see God's grand design in providing salvation for those that don't know Him, and that's the whole world. We need to believe that He sent His Son here to die for us. When I was faced in 1970, and realized I was in great need of a Savior, when I was faced with the gospel, I realized I didn't know anything about God's Word. But one thing I did know was I needed a Savior. I didn't know anything about it, but I had heard little bits and pieces. And then a Gideon came and gave me a little Gideon New Testament and told me to read John chapter 3. And guess what? The gospel was very clear in John chapter 3. I'd like to share that with you this morning, not that particular one, but I want to give you 7 points on what the gospel actually is. You know, we've already established that we're sinners. Adam and Eve gave us that sin nature. We have sin, but it says that in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The penalty of sin is death. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, we can receive that gift. Heaven is a perfect place, and to get there, you have to be perfect. And guess what? We don't make the cut because of the sin nature. And it says in Revelation 21:27, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. How are you going to get written in the Lamb's book of life? Here we go. 4. We need absolute perfection to receive eternal life, because we're not going to get in there as sinners, right? We're not going to do that. And the third verse that I ever memorized is Romans 4:5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Not that I did anything, I didn't work, but to him that worketh not, me, but to him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And then in that's Romans 4:5, but you can also look in Ephesians 2:8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Christ made complete payment for our sins. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, the first verse I ever memorized. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, it's not us. It's God giving us something that we could not attain by ourselves through the perfect sacrifice of his Son. And then number 6, all men must do is to be saved, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Philippians 3:9, and being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You see, the gospel's plain and simple. We don't deserve it. Jesus gave it freely to us when we believe. And then the last verse that this is probably the second verse that I memorized was John 5:13, that says you can know that you have eternal life. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. You see, many times I would see the scale. You know, all the good things you do here are gonna outweigh the bad things. Pretty soon, the bad things are gone. The good things are there. The bad things are, you know, that's not the way it is. Or you meet somebody and say, you know where you're going when you die? Well, I might be going to heaven. There ain't no might. Because I believe in the Savior. When he died once, he died for me, and he died once for all, and His blood covers my sin, and I have Christ's righteousness. When God sees me, Christ says, no, hang on a second. I've already paid for Mark Barnes' sin, therefore I can know that I have eternal life. It's not a hope so, maybe so, or if I do good enough. I believe it, and I receive it. That's the gospel, folks. It's simple. We can know that we have eternal life. We don't deserve any of it. It was all provided by God. Adam and Eve, Moses and Achan, you and me, we're all cut from the same cookie dough, aren't we? I.e., sinners in need of a Savior. However, Jesus lived his life on earth in sinless perfection. He was indeed the Lamb without spot, without blemish, that was slain for you and I, so that you and I could receive the gift of eternal life. His perfect death and his perfect life, his perfect death and his perfect life, paid for your sin and my sin. When we trust in that, when we believe that, we have everlasting life. Philippians 2:8 says this, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. That just blows my mind when I think of that. God could have called 10,000 angels down and delivered him, but that was not the purpose. He had to die in my place for my salvation. The more that I, as a believer, investigate the holy word of God, I find more and more how God reveals his plan through the ages. From creation to Christ, God reveals his plan, and those that take the time to search the scriptures for the truth will clearly see Jesus on every page. Not just in the New Testament. You know, we need to be obedient all the way to the cross. Jesus was obedient all the way to the cross. Do you think obedience is important? You know, we see those little things. What would Jesus do? He would be obedient all the way to the cross. All the way to death, so he would die in my place. Jesus would be obedient. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be shamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You see, we need to be in the word, studying it so we know it, so that we can be able to give an answer to every man, the reason for the hope that is in us. If we don't do that, we can't give an answer, and we're like fools. We need to know what it says in this word. We need to check out every bit, study, read, and look at the words, what the meanings are, what the context says, so that we can rightly divide the word of truth. Yes, you and I may have regrets in our disobedience in the past. So let's look to the future. As believers in Christ, we can move on with hope. And our hope is only in this book. We don't have hope in our bank accounts. We don't have hope in anything else. We have hope in what God's Word says. The more we know about the Word of God, the more we see God's grace and mercy applied to our lives. You know, I found in Galatians what the purpose of the law is. You see, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 21 through 25, you'd have to turn there, look at that later. One of them worms I'm giving you to look it up, you know. Here's what it says. It says that the law was given to be our schoolmaster, to point us to Jesus. You see, the law can't save us, but it pointed us to the one that can. And he fulfilled every aspect of the law. I wish we had the time to talk a little bit more about the Old Testament law so you could see how much Jesus did and what he did when he died on the cross and his blood was shed for you and I. Wow, that would be a tremendous study. I believe that all of us want good success. I believe that. The formula for good success is obedience to all that the Lord says. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 22, verses 37. Look at that, I got right there to it. 22 verses 37 through 40. Jesus says this, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment." Where have we heard that before? "The second is like unto the first, like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." I was listening to a radio broadcast this week, and I heard a guy talking about this particular, not this particular verse, but a different part, where Jesus was questioned on who's my neighbor. Who's my neighbor? You know, those without Jesus Christ. And he gave an example of, you remember the example? It was the Good Samaritan. And he gave the Good Samaritan, and man, the pictures and the stuff that's in there is just amazing. You need to look that up. That's fantastic stuff. But God says that we need to love our neighbors as ourselves. And you know what? It says in John 15:13, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." What did Jesus do? He laid down his life for his friends. I'm just, whenever I get goosebumps in my neck thinking about this, because there's no way I could have salvation except through God's plan that he put in the Word that I can study and know. And the phrase that I find in this particular verse is, "as I have loved you." Actually, that's in John. He says, you know, "love your neighbor as I have loved you." As I have loved you. Think about that for a second. How did he love me? All the way to the cross. When he was praying in Gethsemane, sweating blood, he asked God if there was a way to take that away, would he? And he knew he needed to be obedient all the way to the cross. You know what? If you do what the law says, indeed, you'll have good success. If I were to tell you that you could invest into an account that never depletes, hello, is that going to happen today? No. Many of us around here have invested our money into some type of a fund or in a bank, and it's at the whim of the world's economy, how it goes up or how it goes down, right? Sometimes we lose, sometimes we win. Most times we lose. It's almost like going to a casino. You don't want to do that, by the way. You see, God's economy is not that way. God's economy is absolutely fantastic. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Look at this verse. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break in to steal. But lay yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in through to steal. For where your treasure is, that there your heart will be also. That is such a true statement. And I want to back up to the Awana program. Think about this for a second. Now, I would like to just ask, how many people in this church are already doing something for Grace, any of the ministries we have for Grace Bible Church? Would you just stand up. I want to thank you. Just stand up. Everybody who does something for Grace Bible Church, anything that we have in the ministry, stand up. I want to applaud you, because what we do is reach people for Jesus Christ. Of course, we know the Awana people, Sunday school, even the folks, my friend Kurt, who makes sure that everything's clean in here. Guess what? The investment will never be what the world's investment does up and down because of the economy. And 1 hour a week, you could go to Awana and lead a little boy or girl to Christ, or lead them to the truths of the Scriptures. I've gone through several of the books now, and boy, are they good. And the Scripture verses they give are fantastic. And when you meet one, like little Vinny, man, what a great little kid. To be able to spend time with him for a whole year in the Word was just a joy for me. I didn't want to miss it. And I like to hunt. I came home from hunting just to go to Awana. That's hard for me, but it isn't really, because I love Vinny. And I love Jesus, and I love His Word better. You see, God's Word charges us to go, doesn't it? It charges us to go, make disciples. Let's be obedient to God's Word so that good success will be multiplied unto us. Now, that's not the same success we see that the world talks about, does it? It's not the world's success where we attain wealth or... You know, I mean, I've noticed in here that there's a high correlation of folks who did everything they said, that God gave everything to them that they needed. That's a promise too, isn't it? That God will provide all your needs, not necessarily all your wants, but all your needs. You'll be blessed beyond measure when you lead one of these little guys to Christ, or you bring them into a truth of Scripture that they didn't know. What a blessing. I remember when I mentioned, when we talked about the verse for 1 John 5:13 with Vinny, and he looked at me and he says, "I can know?" I said, "Yeah, you can know." "I can know?" His little round face, his eyes got like this. You know, he has one of these high cuts with a kid bun or whatever you call it up there, you know, and he's looking at me like this, and I'm thinking, man, thank you, Lord, you've allowed me to be a part of this little kid's life. You see, to Jesus, good success was obedience all the way to the cross. You see, the law points us to Jesus. And we need to be able to share that with the world. Do you know Him? Jesus, the perfect Lamb, the Savior, our sin bearer, the giver of eternal life. Jesus, the Word that came in John, that created the earth, and then gave the gift to those that believe of eternal life. Do you know Him? Have you trusted Him? Do you believe? You too can have good success. Would you bow your heads with me and pray? Lord Jesus, Your Word is clear to us in what we should do. Your Word is clear that we should go make disciples. If it's not in Awana, we need to do it one-on-one, maybe with our neighbor. I can think of several of them in my neighborhood that need You. that I've had impact with, and I'm thank you for that. I'm thankful for that. Help me to look at your word more and more and to do what you tell me, or do what you tell me in your word, what the law says, so that I can have good success, not as the world sees success. Good success may be that I die a martyr. That's okay. That's okay, Lord. That's going to be good success in your book. Lord, thank you for this day, for this church, for the people that are here, for your word, what it means to us, for the law that we're to obey. Work in our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.